Pittsburgh Sports Exchange, episode number 132. And we have a Sweet 16. It is also our MLB preview. We are doing it so we're going to do the March Madness preview, recap and preview today. And then tomorrow, we're going to be doing our MLB preview, which means that we will be combining, the two for a Thursday morning upload. Listen early. You get our opening day best bets. You get our March Madness bets. All that, that's all we're going to be talking about. All betting, all episode. So let's just recap March Madness first. First of all, I am in Florida. Yes. Clap it up. Clap it up for Florida.
Stands at the beach.
I have not been to the beach. All I've been doing, really, eating, drinking, and playing pickleball. That's really all I've been doing.
You know what? You've already upgraded, Stan. You're past middle age. You're sitting at a smooth 75 right now. You in Del Boca Vista?
Yeah, I am in Del Boca Vista, if you want to put it that way. Yes, I am in Del Boca Vista. Nonetheless, let's recap March Madness. I don't know. Can you hear an echo? I can hear myself echoing, but that's kind of
a little
irrelevant.
Bit, but who cares? We'll be
a little
right.
bit. Yeah, it's a big room. Who cares? All right. What a game. Just what a weekend. Just the Thursday to Sunday March Madness is the most elite weekend of the year by far. Don't you think?
Like, it's there were some great, great, great games. Some real and some upsets. Some stuff we didn't expect, Stan.
Here's the thing.
Shout out
Oakland. Let's just talk about it right now. Oakland takes down Kentucky in the first round. I said on the bracket preview that this is such an easy path for Kentucky to go to the Elite Eight. Like, this is like the easiest path that they could get.
And they blew it.
They fucking blew it. I could not believe it. Golkey. Where the fuck?
Oh my gosh. And you know what? You can't even blame Kentucky because the shots he was putting up and making were just unbelievable. Dude, he was coming off ball screens, like fading away with handed face.
Heavily contested. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't fucking believe what I was seeing. But nonetheless, this is the second first round exit in 3 years for Coach Cal and his squad. Something's got to change because you cannot rely. I think the era of it's almost like Dabo Sweeney. You know how Dabo Sweeney before NIL or during
Dabo Sweeney.
Anyone but Dabo. But you know how there was when NIL first started to, you know, become like a mainstay in college sports, he was like, no, I'm not going to do that because he said on the record, the minute that college players start getting paid, I'm done. And then he just starts like building in these guys and like not utilizing the transfer portal that well. And Clemson hasn't really been back to the playoff scene in years. We see like a similar thing with Cal here where it's like, he's sticking with the freshmen, like having like three to four freshmen in the starting five, and then having guys come off the bench. That era is over. You got to utilize the transfer portal. Like, there are teams where their best players are transfers.
They have no excuse for losing this game. They really don't. No, they were three seed for a reason, and you lost to Oakland. I'll give you, Oakland played a good game against NC State in the round of 32. They did. NC State's a good team, but come on. I mean, they would have walked in there. Now, I'm not saying they would have won against NC State because I had NC State winning, but Oakland was an easy game. They should have came out in Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland had to be – that was such a winnable game for them. And it kept on – there were so many times where Oakland kept on opening that door for Kentucky to get back in. And either Kentucky would put up a bad shot.
They just blew it every time they blew it. They couldn't make a shot. I don't know what the hell was going on. They just couldn't do anything. And you know what? Dude, the South had multiple. Look at Florida. Florida loses to Colorado.
Well, here's the thing with Florida. Florida was down their star center and Micah Head locked in. But nonetheless, that was one of the best games of the weekend.
100-102. What NBA game were we watching there? Jesus Christ!
It was a beautiful game to watch. I had Florida money line. It was heartbreaking, but
if you loved offense, you were eating up these South games. Nebraska, Texas A&M. Yeah,
that was a great college basketball game with Colorado and Florida. Colorado, I there was a moment, there was like a, there was a part of me that was like, you know what, they might beat Marquette like eight, like 7 minutes into the second half, where I was like, you know what, they're coming back to tie this game. This like this has the potential. And then that was it. And then Marquette kind of pulled away. Any other big upsets? I mean, I'm not shocked with Duquesne.
Yeah, like Yale over Auburn was Yale over Yale Auburn. Over Auburn. That was, shout out the Ivy Leagues.
Yo, let me just put it this way. I knew Yale was winning that game the moment that Chad Baker-Mazzara, 4 minutes into the first half, just elbowed a guy on Yale for no reason. I mean, there was a reason behind it, but there was no need to do that. Like, yeah, he like got away with a foul call and a dirty play. You fucking elbow him and knock him to the ground. It's a flagrant two. And then he goes into the locker room and then tweets about it during the game.
Yeah, no, you're doing too much.
Oh, my
God.
And
really, you know what? This is probably, for me, the biggest upset of the week because, let's be honest, I mean, Auburn, I had Auburn going further than Kentucky. I think Auburn was a better team, and they had a lot of high expectations going into this tournament because of last year.
Winning the SEC championship, too. But
I mean, everyone had them playing UConn going into the Sweet 16. But yeah. How does this happen? How did, because especially now you lose this game and then you see what happens when they go up against San Diego State and they lose by 30. You could have beat San Diego State by 30. That could have been you. You got to get out of this round of 64. It's,
and plus
these,
Yale,
unbelievable losses.
Yale wasn't like that good of a, like, not that good of a team. Let me rephrase that. They weren't the favorites to win the Ivy League. It was clear cut that Princeton, if they won the conference tournament, they were in. They were not getting an at-large, but Princeton was dominating the Ivy League. Yale just fucking, well, no, they got lucky because Brown beat Princeton, but I don't know how you lose that game. I really don't know how you lose that game.
No, I know. I don't know either.
I just couldn't believe
it. Because you're up going into half. What are you, up six or seven going into half, I think. Yeah, it was 41-34. And then you got all the momentum. I don't know. I don't know how you blow it. I really don't.
I don't know.
Screwing my bracket.
Is your mic thing working? Because your volume isn't coming up. If it's coming up for you, then it's fine.
It is coming up for me.
It's coming up for you? Okay, that's perfectly okay. Because it's coming up for me, but it's not coming up for you, but whatever. All right, let's dive right into it. Sweet 16, best bets. Let's get it started with a tight one. Clemson, Arizona. Clemson, definitely the one of the more shocking teams that have made it to the second weekend. Arizona's favored by 7.5. Total is set at 151.5. I know it's early, but there's a lot of people that are on Clemson because, you know, the ACC undefeated in the tournament this year, if you're not counting Virginia in a playing game. But
embarrassing loss, by the way.
That was – they did not deserve that whatsoever. That was disgusting.
Yeah. I'm actually – you know what, Stan? I really like Arizona in this spot. I really do. I see Clemson –
I just saw something breaking.
What happened?
Patino is coming back to Louisville, but not Rick. Richard Patino, the son, has emerged as the top candidate for the Louisville job.
Well, there you go. The Patino blood runs deep.
Runs deep, I guess. Anyway, what were you saying about Arizona? Sorry.
I just like them in this game. I don't know. I think if their stars can show up like they do, I know Caleb Love's been kind of iffy at some points, but he is Caleb Love. If he could show up, I really don't see a problem. But Arizona has a problem in this game at all. Do you really? I like that 7.5 spread if I'm taking anything.
No, I'm not. I had to unmute the mic for a second. All right, there's a lot going on.
Stan's getting active in Florida. While he's a little delayed, I just want to say the NFL is absolutely ruining football. Yeah. Absolutely ruining football.
We will get to that. Anyway, Clemson, Arizona, I think the run ends here for Arizona. I mean, they just got guys. Arizona has the guys. You know, Keshad Johnson, Bill from March, went to the national championship at San Diego State last year. Caleb Love went to the national championship with UNC 2 years ago. Umar Ballo, I don't think that there's a big man on Clemson that can handle. I know PJ Hall is the top big man, but that's not a true center. He's more of a power forward. Umar Ballo, I think the key here is Umar Ballo playing this. Umar Ballo, Umar Ballo being the top center in this game, I think that he's going to feast, and I'll leave it at that. And now my entire screen is just frozen. Uh-oh. What the fuck?
I can hear you. You're still good.
All right, you can hear me fine because my computer is just spazzing.
No, I hear you fine.
All right, my computer was
spazzing. If it's spazzing, trust me, just hit the camera. I'm telling you, it'll go so much faster. Like, it'll run smoother if it gets to that point. All right.
If it gets to I don't think it will. Anyway, my Publix is here. Yay. anyway,
what's going on?
I think a lot. Yeah, there's so much going on.
I'm taking Arizona over Clemson.
I'm taking Arizona.
Maybe even by the points.
I might take him to cover as well. This is gonna be definitely a high offensive game. That's a high total, 151.5. And there is, I don't know how to describe it. The West region, despite Arizona not being the one seed in the West region, it favors them. You got games at Staples. Yeah, if you win, when are they playing? Thursday? Yeah, if you win Thursday, then you're playing in. If you win Thursday, you win the Elite Eight game, then you're playing in basically your home state of Arizona. So that favors them a lot. I like Arizona to cover here. Leave it at that. Next up, national championship rematch. Get excited. San Diego State, UConn in Boston. UConn is favored by 11 points. They're hanging 11 points. And I'm just going to – let's just get it out of the way. I think UConn covers without a problem. We saw Danny Hurley.
Yeah, this is not the same. Yeah. This is not the same SDSU team.
It isn't, but they're a very well-coached team. But let's just all be honest.
Ladie's nice.
Ladie's good. Jaden Ladie is very good. UConn just fucking dominates. Let's just put it this: Dan Hurley thinks that UConn got screwed. Like he's basically pulling a Kirby Smart, basically saying that the committee wants to fuck you over. They put the Big 12 tournament champion in our region. They put the Big 10 champion in our region. They put the Mountain West champion, the SEC champion in our region. They just got, although they lost to fucking Yale, even though the one seeds get to choose where they go, they are basically taking a bus ride from Storrs to Boston. And then you win that game, you go back to Storrs, you're sleeping. Like, the comfort level for UConn right now is at an all time high. I just don't see how they lose to a team like San Diego State. I don't see it. I don't see a world where they lose a game like this.
I know. I agree with you 100%. I don't. I really don't. And I don't know if they're going to cover because the points are a little bit much, but I really don't see a world where they win.
But they've been dominating teams. Like, the message that Danny Hurley is sending the teams, like, let's just keep blowing these teams out. The committee does not want us here. They want us to have tough competition. He's basically telling the committee, you know what? Go fuck yourselves. We're going to go back-to-back, and you're not going to fucking like it.
Yeah, well, listen, I might be a little biased because I think Iowa State's going to beat them, but we'll get to that when that happens in the Elite Eight. I want them to slow down a little bit in the sake of my bracket.
I just don't see a world where UConn loses a game. And
no,
they're
going to win
the
game.
Fine.
They're going to win.
But Danny Hurley is just having he's on a run, man. And I just don't see a world where UConn loses in this region. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. Best bets, definitely UConn to cover. The total's a little bit low, 135.5. But
I would take the over.
We'll leave it alone. We'll leave it alone. Well, we're recording this on Tuesday, I think, as Wednesday. And like Thursday morning goes by, I think we'll have more of a clear understanding of where the bracket lies or where our bets lie. So we'll definitely put a post out there for that. Next up, definitely the most exciting game on the slate. One of the two most exciting games on the slate here. Alabama, UNC. UNC favored by 4, total set at 173.5.
Stan, you're going to call me crazy. I really think Bama wins this game. Their offense right now looks... Their offense right now looks like something that nobody can stop. And if they can continue to play like this, like they have all year. I mean, go back to it. Look, they played Charleston. They went 109-96. I mean, you put up 109 points in a college basketball game. Are you kidding me? Like, that's insane.
But then you go to that Grand Canyon game, and it was more of a rock fight. And if it wasn't for like a little bit of a late game surge, Grand Canyon could be playing in this game.
Yeah, but you held them to 61 points, which, your defense hasn't been great. That's a good sign. At least you're slowing teams down. I know you only put up 72, but I don't know. I think UNC's sort of a little bit had a cakewalk up until this point. I think Michigan State's a good team, not anything crazy. And even before that, they were playing a 16 seed. I think this is a real test for them. They've kind of, not take their foot off the gas, but you know, they haven't really been tested that much. I think Alabama is going to bring it to them in the first half, and I don't know if they're going to be able to cover. I really think that's what's going to happen. I got my money on Bama here.
I love what you're saying. Like, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love what you're saying right now. I'm going to take Alabama
Sears
to cover.
Sears has been great.
Yeah, Mark Sears has been Estrada, ridiculous.
I don't know. They're just such a good team.
But here's the thing. It's the defense. I'm with you with Alabama covering. I think the safer bet here is the over. Solely because that this Alabama defense is just it's not a good defense. They're 101st in defensive efficiency, but the offense is it's how UNC is going to perform.
Their offense is like first.
Here's the thing. No, they're fourth in efficiency, but here's the thing. UNC's defense has been much improved this season. They're sixth in defensive efficiency. They force their opponents to take tough shots. But the thing is, they haven't played a team like Alabama that plays so fast-paced and so
quickly.
That's
what I'm saying.
That's so
Stan, they played Wagner. They played Wagner good. Yeah. They beat him by 28 points. That's great. They go into Michigan State. They take care of business. But let's be honest. I get it, Tom Izzo. I get the magic Michigan State has.
No, it's I get it.
Michigan State's a 9 seed for a reason. I just think, dude, Alabama has some magic with them this year. And if football didn't work out for them, I think basketball might have a shot. I really see them getting past this round and moving on.
I'm going to take the over and play it safe. I think the safe plays the over. Both these teams are very high, very good at offense, very offensive-minded teams. It's just that I think you – let's just see what happens because don't get me wrong. I would love to see Alabama lose this win this game, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And last but not least, definitely this is going to be – this is one of my favorite games. This is definitely one of my favorite games. Illinois, Iowa State. Iowa State favored by 1.5. Total set at 146. This game could go one or two ways. This could either be a rock fight, and which favors Iowa State, or this is going to be a track meet, which favors Illinois. And there's no difference. Like, this is, it's either going one or two ways. Illinois, definitely the more fast-paced team, obviously. They are the number one this is going to be a rock fight. Illinois is the number one team in KenPom in offensive efficiency. Iowa State is the number one team in KenPom in defensive efficiency.
Defense wins championships, Dan. They haven't allowed more than 65 points in their last 5 games. And that was against Houston, yeah. Baylor.
Give me Iowa State. I think Iowa State wins this game. You're right. You're right.
Me too.
You're right. Defense wins championships. I'm all for that. They force turnovers. Let's just put it this way. Illinois plays a very it's sort of like I don't want to say careless, but it's sort of like, I'm trying to find like the right word for it. They play very fast paced, but it's almost like theirs. Yeah, Tim, you got to help me here. Just trying
it's
to find
not,
the word here.
Yeah, it's not careless, but it's sporadic. You know, it's like it's all over the place.
It's all over the place. And plus, if BYU beats Duquesne, BYU and Illinois have very similar styles of play. They both play very fast-paced. If let's just say Illinois plays BYU, Illinois misses a couple of key shots, misses a bunch of threes, BYU makes their threes, we could be seeing BYU in this game.
I think either way, I think Iowa State takes this down. I'm with the defense. And they're my national champions for a reason, Stan. That's why I picked them.
Yeah.
That's why I picked them.
Yeah. I mean, my bracket's dead. Like, it's done.
St. Mary's, come on. You screwed me. I'm in second still, but come on.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to go with Iowa State here. TJ Otzelberger is just building a culture at Iowa State right now. And he's not getting the recognition that he deserves. Like, let's all be honest here. Like, we see all these, like, Big 12 teams. Like, we've seen all these Big 12 teams, like Kansas, now Houston, you know, Baylor, I know they got knocked out. They sold their soul for a national championship in 2021. They haven't made it back to the second weekend since. But Scott Drew's going to get that love because Baylor hasn't won. I mean, all they got was that national championship. So
I just think Iowa State is what Baylor was during that national championship. Maybe a little less offensive, but they have that defense. They have that defense. Yeah. And They're suffocating. Yeah. If you watch them play, you see against these big teams. They did it against Houston. Houston scored 41 points against them.
Yeah.
41 points.
Iowa State's a good team. We'll see what happens with that game. That game's going to be very exciting. I'm very excited for that one. All right, so the Friday games, NC State and Marquette. Marquette is favored.
We're riding the hot hand here, Stan. We are riding hot hand.
You're already taking NC State?
I had NC State moving on anyway. I'm just keep going with it. I'm going to keep rolling with it.
Marquette's favored by 6.5, total set at 151.5. That's a pretty high total. Shaka Smart back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since he was at VCU when he was the first team ever to go, when he was coaching the first team ever to go from the first four to the final four. This is tough. This is a tough game to predict because you never know what Marquette, number one, and number two. It's just that NC State is just so red hot right now. And the ACC as a whole is just on fire. I'm going to take Marquette. I'm going to take Marquette.
Come on! Stan, my bracket right now looks great. Looks great. And I have a lot of match. I picked a lot of Sweet 16 matchups right. I think I only got like two wrong. I have NC State over Marquette. I'm taking it. I'm riding with it. I'm going to keep riding with it. Keep the hot hand.
It's the offense. It's the way Marquette plays offense. DJ Burns against Oso Iguodaro is going to be a challenge for DJ Burns because Oso is so he's mobile. He's mobile. I don't think DJ Burns has guarded a big man like him before. So when he's doing that freaking one dribble floater at the free throw from the top of the key to the free throw line and hitting, I don't know how DJ Burns is going to defend that. I really don't. And the guard play is going to be phenomenal. DJ Horn going up against Tyler Kolick. Kolick has been playing great ball as of late. Shaka Smart always has a plan. It's a nice story from NC State, but I just don't see it. Give me Marquette. Betting side, maybe the over. Maybe the over.
Marquette money line.
Maybe the over. Tim, you're rolling with – you got NC State money line?
Of course I have NC State. NC State. All the way. They're going to keep it, hot, keep moving on. And then we could be seeing, Stan, move on that next matchup, Duke-Houston. We could be seeing Duke versus NC State again.
We'll get to the Duke game. Next up, Purdue taking on Gonzaga for the second time this year. Purdue, last time these two teams played each other was in Maui back in November. Trying to find – they don't have the last matchups. Oh, fuck. Doesn't have the matchups. Purdue favored by 5.5, total set at 154. Gonzaga's been playing great ball as of late. I can't.
And you know, I know Purdue is known for choking, but God, Zach Edey and them been so hot as of recently. It's really hard not to pick them here.
Guard play is going to be great. Don't get me wrong. With the way that Ryan Nemhard's been playing, his experience went to the Elite Eight with Creighton. I just think that Purdue's got – they've
7-2 boy down low.
They have unfinished business. And I know Graham E.K. has been a solid big man, did well against Hunter Dickinson. I just don't see it with this one. I'm
taking Purdue.
I don't see it. I'm going to take Purdue, probably by the points as well. It's just that it's not an Edey thing. It's a Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer thing. If they're hitting their threes, forget it. Like, really? Like, if
Purdue's
I'm being
a one
honest,
seed for a reason. Purdue's a one seed Purdue. For a reason.
Yep. And I will not be shocked if Purdue loses this game, however, but I just don't see it. I don't see it. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. Next up. Here we go. Duke Blue Devils, Sweet 16, taking on Houston. Houston coming off of a thrilling game in overtime against Texas A&M in Dallas. Houston favored by 4. Total set at 134.5. This is tough. This is like a tough. I'm not going to give a prediction because obviously for bias reasons. This is going to be a fun fucking game. Like, this is going to be.
Stan, I could give you one.
This is going to be. Who are you taking?
Well, I look at it like this. I picked Houston to move on in my bracket. Yes, I did. But they really have not been playing great in their last three games of basketball. You look what they lose to Iowa State. Like I said, they put up 41 points. I know they
Longwood,
whatever. But they go to overtime, win 195 against an A&M team who, honestly, not that impressive. Really not that impressive.
Here's the thing. Both those teams like preach defense, and there was no defense that game. Like, that's the thing.
None.
Here's the thing. If this game turns into a track meet, I think it's in Duke's favor. But if it's a rock fight, It's almost like it's almost like the Illinois Iowa State game, where if it's a track meet, it favors Duke, but if it's a rock fight, I don't like.
I think it's going to be a track meet. I really, because look, Stan, really look at the last wins that Houston's had. I know they beat Texas Tech 82-59.
Yeah.
TCU 60-45. They didn't even play a great offensive game there. They go against Longwood again. Longwood. 41 points because Iowa State really, really is not a good sign going into a tournament. And then this five point win against A&M. I actually really like Duke to win this game, especially after the way they played against JMU. Their guards are hitting them. Their shots.
That was a fucking slaughter, by the way. A slaughter.
They're getting great freshman play from Jared McCann. They're shooting the ball well. And you can't discredit JMU. They're a good team. They're a really good team.
They were a very good team. They completely dominated. It was almost like 2018. 2018, Duke played Rhode Island in the second round. And Rhode Island was a pretty trendy pick. Who was the head coach of Rhode Island at the time? It was Danny Hurley. Duke freaking... like blew them out. Like it wasn't even a game. So
I like Duke by the spread here. Plus 4.5. I like that. I think that's the safest pick if you're going to take anything. And I think they win this game. Really. I really think they do. I picked Houston, but I really think Duke wins this game.
I don't bet my team, but I think you all know where I lie. Like, let's all be honest. I think you all know where I lie here, but I'm just going to say from a basketball standpoint, if it's a track meet, it's Duke. It's a rock fight. I really don't like their chances, but they match up well.
Rock fight Houston was in. They put up 41 points. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. That's a fair point. The key to the game here for Duke is the guard.
Shoot the ball well. If they are hitting their threes in the first half, Stan, this might be over. This might be over the first half.
That's number one. Number two, the guard's got to stay out of foul trouble because we are very limited in guard depth because of Caleb Foster being out for the year with that foot injury. So. They're hitting their threes, and the guards stay out of foul trouble. I'm good. This could be a good game. Last but not least, this is my favorite. This is, I mean, the more
this
we
is
talk
the best
about
game.
It,
this is the best
this
game.
Is the, this is the best game on the card here for either or. Creighton, Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 2.5. The total set at 143.5. And I'm just going to say it right now. I do not trust Rick Barnes in the second weekend. Give me fucking Creighton. Don't even need the points. Don't even need them. This team has it all. I told you I'd like weeks before I liked Creighton to win the whole thing, and then that whole like teams that lose their first conference tournament game have never won the final again. I don't care. Give me fucking Creighton to win this game. They have everything. I don't think that there's a big man that can compete with Ryan Kalkbrenner. There's no, I just don't see it. I just don't see a, because if, here's the thing with Tennessee. If Creighton does a good job with Dalton Connect, they don't have to worry about anybody else. I think because really the plan for Tennessee all year has been, yo, do your thing on offense, hold your ground we got you on defense. If they can limit him to like 20 points, they can limit him to 20 points. That's the maximum, 20 points. Actually, no, the minimum 20 points. To like maybe 25 points. Creighton.
I think they'll be fine. I think, look at that last matchup against Oregon. Oregon is a scrappy, good defensive team.
That was a hell of a game too, by the way.
Hell of a game. Oregon's a scrappy, good defensive team. That is a no-joke win for them. They beat Akron 77-60. I know Tennessee ran through Texas, and they had SPU to start. I mean, that's a joke. I don't think they've seen a team like Creighton yet. And I don't think they have, honestly, all year. Did they play in this year?
Who? Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they've seen a team like Creighton this year, then. I really don't think they have. I Stan, I'm trusting you, and I trusted you all this way, and they have not proven me wrong. I'm riding with you. Give me Creighton here. I haven't won in this game.
Yeah.
Give me Creighton.
It's just that, it's just the whole thing with, like, Ashworth. Ashworth and Alexander are the two, I'm seriously saying this. Steven Ashworth and Trey Alexander are the best 1-2 tandem in the country. And I will go to the grave saying that. And then going up against guys like Zakai Ziegler and Santiago Vescovi. I don't see it. I just see Creighton winning this game. I see Creighton winning the game. We all know Rick Barnes' track record in March or not in March, yes, but the second weekend, we've all seen the track record. Give me Creighton. I love it. I love Creighton.
I'm with you. I'm with
love
you.
Love Creighton. Okay. That is it for our March Madness. So we're going to stop here. This will all be combined, so I don't know why I'm making this such a big thing. But anyway.
Just for, you know, purposes for us, we're stopping here.
Yes, because I'm going to the Florida Panther.
We can cut this out. We'll cut this out. We're stopping here.
All right. Anyway, all right. MLB preview coming up next. We'll see you guys then. All right. It's our third MLB preview. For whatever reason, I'm very excited about this baseball season. I guess it's just because the Yankees got Juan Soto and, you know, I know Garrett Cole's hurt, but I'm looking forward to this baseball season as a neutral observer. I mean, Tim, I know your Mets are...
Yeah, I can't really say the same.
I know you can't relate there, but I mean, I'm looking forward to this. So here's how we're going to dive into the MLB preview. We're going to preview every team from AL East, NL East, AL Central, NL Central, NL West, AL West, and then we are doing our MVP, Rookie of the Year predictions, and then our more than likely to be wrong World Series picks. So without further ado, let's dive right into it. The New York Yankees to start. They address their needs. I mean, I feel like I'm a broken record by saying that. They address their needs. They go get Juan Soto. They go get Alex Verdugo. Those are guys that are lefties, where their home stadium is going to be a lefty-dominant ballpark with a 314 in right field. So there's that. On the lower side of things, you know, Garrett Cole's hurt, out 1 to 2 months. You're down DJ LeMahieu to start the year. Dominguez still on the aisle as well. So right now the biggest question for the Yankees is the rotation. You got a five of Nestor Cortez, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Clark Schmidt, and Luis Gil. I'm big on Luis Gil this year. I'm so happy he's back and healthy.
Is that your guy?
That's my guy. Him and Clayton Beter are definitely going to be my guys to watch this year. Luis Gil had a very elite spring, and I don't think it ever got talked about enough. I'm very excited for Luis Gil every fifth day for the first 1 to 2 months of the year. We'll see how it goes. And if it doesn't work, we can throw Beter in there. And I'm fine with that. So right now, as we're recording this, the Yankees actually made a trade. Looks like their third baseman on opening day is going to be John Birdie from the Miami Marlins. I'm fine with this. Speed guy, good fielder, 700 OPS last season. He gets on base. I'm a fan. I'm really a fan of this one.
Yeah, I got nothing. This is a good move. They needed a third baseman. They got a third baseman. Need to address the needs.
So right now, here is the likely lineup going into opening day. They are facing a lefty in Framber Valdez against the Astros. Also, we are going to do best bets for opening day. Don't worry about that. Here's the likely lineup. We got Torres, Soto, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Verdugo, Volpe, Birdie, and Trevino. This is according to Fangraphs. I am not necessarily a fan of... What's up? Okay, yeah. A lot going on. Hey, Henry. Oh, no, you're good. You're good. There's noise cancellation. Yeah, you're good. All right.
We're in the modern era.
Yeah, this is the modern era. So there's, personally, I think Welsh should be the starting catcher over Trevino. There's that.
I just think defensively, he kind of, Trevino gives you that defensive aspect a little bit more than Welsh.
Gives you the defense, but I feel like you need nine guys in the lineup that can hit the ball.
But I don't know. I get you. I know you're a nine guy hitting lineup. You need everyone to hit. You're a 2009 Yankees fan. I get that. I know, Stan. But you got to take defense you got to take defense where you can get it here. And I don't mind him starting behind the dish, especially you add Juan Soto. This team's already. I mean, let's be honest. They have a lethal lineup when healthy. If Stanton can turn it around this year, they should have a real shot at winning this division. Real shot.
Uh-oh. I was frozen there for a bit. Oh. All right. We're good?
Yeah, you're good.
right, yeah, all right. Because I couldn't hear you for like 30 seconds. Great. Yeah. I think the additions of Soto and Verdugo are good. Pitching is going to be a major question. We're relying on a lot of guys with a lot of question marks. Cortez, Rodon, Stroman, big question marks. I think depends on how the first 1 to 2 months goes. Once Cole comes back, we'll see what happens. I think the ceiling right now, the ceiling is playoffs, no doubt. I feel like they're always it.
Cashman, I feel like the ceiling is winning the division.
Well, yeah, I'd say so. But there's, I mean, you got Baltimore. I'm always afraid of Baltimore.
Well, now, maybe not the best 10 years, but now.
Yeah. What up, Henry?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so definitely ceiling playoffs or with division, but you know, you got Baltimore in the way. All right.
I feel like the floor's got to be the playoffs for them this year. Is there really an excuse?
I mean, they won 82 games. I mean,
yeah, Juan Soto.
But anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
That is,
I know Murphy's law, but yeah, I don't
Murphy's
know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Baltimore, let's go to the Baltimore Orioles. They're definitely one of the winners of the offseason. They go ahead and add Corbin Burnes. They just finalized the sale to their new owner. So times are looking good times ahead in Baltimore. No Jackson Holliday. Is that the big shock here? I'm sort of surprised.
I don't know. I really feel like he had a really good spring training. I'm going to blank the name right now. What's his face for Texas kind of had a similar one. I know it was a little bit better.
Wyatt Langford.
Yeah. I think both those guys deserve a shot in the MLB. I mean, why not? I know you got Gunnar Henderson up there already, and I'm sure you don't want to switch things up after winning 102 games last year, but Jackson Holliday is the truth. He's legit, and there's a reason he was a top pick. So.
I'm going to be scared. So right now the projected lineup looks like this. We got Cedric Mullins, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Anthony Santander, Ryan O'Hearn, Ryan Mountcastle, Austin Hayes, Ramon Urias taking that third base spot instead of Holliday, and then Jordan Westberg. It's the same lineup from last year, but it's still an elite lineup. I mean, only 1, 2, 3, 4 righties in the lineup, and then you got 2 switch hitters, 2 lefties, 3 lefties, sorry. And then we'll see what happens. We will see what happens.
Yeah, I think my point to watch for them, two guys to watch, obviously Corbin Burnes, you had him.
There's palpable.
You had him, but Ryan Mountcastle. Yeah, obviously, it's a family home. But Mountcastle, this is a big year for him. I honestly could see him taking a huge leap. He's good at the plate. I think he could have a really effective year at the dish. Maybe like 275 with some long bombs. I don't know. I could see a big step from him, so watch out for him.
So we look at this rotation. They add Corbin Burnes. Grayson Rodriguez has been a threat. Tyler, and then it sort of kind of dies down a bit because, you know, John Means is hurt. Kyle Bradish is hurt. So now you got a good 1-2. You got a good two-headed monster, Corbin Burnes, Grayson Rodriguez. Then it kind of dies down a bit. You got Tyler Wells, Dean Kramer, Cole Irvin. Jesus Christ, how long did it have to take him to go get fucking alcohol? It took him about that. You know that Rick Pitino quote? This is one of the most unenjoyable experiences of my lifetime.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm kidding. Anyway, two-headed monster in the rotation, Burnes and Rodriguez. But then those final three, it's kind of like, I mean, I get Bradish and Means could come back, especially.
Isn't Means supposed to come back? Not too late.
Means is supposed to come back. He had elbow soreness. I believe he got Tommy John surgery, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's why he was out last year, right?
Well, he had it in October.
Well, yeah, I meant to finish the year. Yeah, well.
Yeah, to finish the year, yeah.
They were playing October ball.
Bradish does have a sprained elbow. He did get a PRP injection back in January, but again, that's something that you don't really want to risk because if you add Kyle Bradish back into that rotation, he had one of the best second halves of any starting pitcher in baseball. Look good. That rotation looks like a bigger threat now with Burnes, Bradish, and Rodriguez. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. But I mean, right now, I honestly think they can get by with this lineup. The bottom three, I know they're not great right now, but they're not horrible. I mean, they're comparable to what the Mets have.
To what the Mets have, But we look at this bullpen now. So you lose Felix Bautista due to Tommy John surgery. He's out for the year. Was the best closer in baseball. They reloaded. They go get Craig Kimbrel in free agency. Is he going to be necessarily the guy.
You know, like Stan, I've been writing him off for like 3 years now, and he just seems to sign with another team and then have a few great months. I'm like, is he back? Is it time?
There's so many questions. And then he added that changeup to his arsenal, and then something. Yeah, you're good.
I don't know why we're adding pitches.
I don't
stick to what you know. Stick to what you know.
At 35 years old, he's adding pitches. Unbelievable.
Gotta stay relevant somehow.
Yennier Cano is also a. He had a very good year. What am I saying?
Phenomenal. I just think the bullpen takes a little bit of a step back. Obviously, he was Felix Bautista, but again, their starting rotation's great. They're going to go deep into games. The hitting is there. We saw it last year. We're going to see it again. They're young. They're only going to get better. Adley Rutschman's what?
Yeah.
Now he's what? 24 years old? 25 years old? You got
Rutschman Gunnar Henderson. Rutschman's actually 26.
26? Yeah.
Yeah, they're making more. Guys like just Henderson. We're in for a long day. We're in for a long day.
I love it. But this lineup can hit. They're going to stay in games.
Steve's definitely going to make the playoffs. It's a big question whether or not it's going to be the division. Next up,
they're the favorite to win the division.
Yes, without a doubt. Next up, the Toronto Blue Jays, coming off of a playoff appearance, they lose a lot of guys. They lose Matt Chapman. They lose Whit Merrifield. They lose Brandon Belt. They also lose Jordan Hicks as well. Kevin Kiermaier, I believe.
And Daniel Vogelbach.
He stayed, if I'm not mistaken, right? Kevin Kiermaier.
I believe he did.
Yes, he did stay. So here's what this lineup is looking like so far. We got George Springer, Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero, Justin Turner, Dalton Varsho, Alejandro Kirk, Kevin Kiermaier, good old Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, your starting third baseman, and Kevin Biggio. Here's the thing. This top three is a good top three to start with the lineup. And then you get to the other six, and it's like a plane going to, like landing. You know how it's like
incoming all star.
You know how a plane, like when it lands, it doesn't like land straight. It just goes like
lose altitude. Yeah,
that's basically how it is with this Blue Jays lineup. Going from Matt Chapman to IKF at third base is definitely not good. You bring back the same team. You got Vladimir Guerrero playing the field. We know how he is in the field.
He's not horrible. You know, it's improved. He won a Gold Glove, didn't he?
I don't think he did. Did he?
I think he did.
Oh, goodness.
Let me see.
Oh, he might have. Anyway, they added Daniel Vogelbach. That was certainly something. So anyway, we look at this rotation now. I believe if Berrios is starting opening day, or starting tomorrow at least, starting opening day. So it's going to go Jose Berrios, Chris Bassett, Yusei Kikuchi, Bowden Francis. According to StatCast, Bowden Francis. Alec Manoah is on the IL due to shoulder soreness. So it's going to be the rookie Bowden Francis. Or no.
Oh, so don't mean to cut you off your stand. 2022, Glad won the Gold Glove Award at first base in the AL.
Sorry about that. I was wrong. And then you got Kevin Gausman. I think Kevin Gausman is definitely the ace of this ace of this rotation.
100%.
Don't sleep on Chris Bassett, though.
You can't. You want to put Chris Bassett in an ace role? I mean, come on.
I wouldn't say an ace role, but I'm just saying.
He's a good three.
He's a good pitcher. He's a serviceable pitcher. With this team, though, I actually do have a future. Actually, no, I don't have a future with this one. I don't. I thought of doing like Kevin Gausman, like under total strikeouts, just because of his age. But that splitter is just way too effective.
Biggio to make the All Star game. I'm telling you, this guy's gonna have a year.
That's even a pick. Bullpen. You look at it. I mean, who would you? I believe Jordan Romano is also injured. He has elbow inflammation dating back to March 10th. So you're down him. Chad Green's been serviceable. I mean, he's coming off Tommy John surgery, so we'll see how that goes. But other than that, this bullpen really doesn't really move me.
This team doesn't move me.
I'm sorry.
They got a lot of question marks, and they need a lot of things to go right for them to make the playoffs. But I just have such a weird gut feeling that they're going to win like 94 games and sneak in like a wild card spot.
It's either or. Like, there's no like in between. Like, they're either going to be really terrible and like go out sad, or they might win like 90, 92 games.
Yeah.
We'll see.
This reminds me a lot of like a Padres team.
I just don't like how your DH is a near 40-year-old Justin Turner.
They signed Daniel Vogelback.
Yes, I forgot about that. They did sign Daniel Vogelback.
Danny Burgers.
Oh, God. I just can't. That's unbelievable.
Can't believe he's in the MLB. Up,
I cannot believe he has a job. Next up, the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays? They fought through adversity. And by adversity, I mean when you lose your starting shortstop because of that and then still make the playoffs. I mean, you got something to celebrate for. So
stick taps for that.
Right, yeah, stick taps. Yeah. Raise the sick up for that. Right now, here is your lineup. You have Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, Randy Arozarena, Isak Paredes, Harold Ramirez, Richie Palacios, Jose Siri, Jose Caballero, and Rene Pinto. You got bench, including Ben Roethlisberger, former Yankee, Nico Goodrum, Ahmed Rosario, and Austin Shenton. And the big question here is the starting rotation. A lot of guys hurt. McClanahan had Tommy John surgery in August. He's probably out for the year. Drew Rasmussen had elbow surgery on an internal brace in July. Jeffrey Springs had Tommy John in April of 2023, so he'll probably be back. Two former top prospects, and Shane Baz had Tommy John surgery in September of 2022. He's slated to be back eventually. And then Taj Bradley is injured with a strained pectoral muscle. A lot of injuries for this Rays rotation, but still, they're going to be manageable. Had a strained pec dating back to March 12th of this year. So lining up the rotation to be Zach Eflin, Aaron Civale, Zach Littell, Tyler Alexander, and Ryan Pepiot. Eflin had a service. I'll say this. Eflin had a very good year last year. Do I see a repeat? I'm kind of – he's got to prove it to me. He's got to prove it to me.
I don't know. I don't see them making the playoffs. I think this rotation's banged up. And honestly, losing Wander Franco, this lineup does not move me whatsoever. Like, whatsoever. You got a good bat in Randy Arozarena. I know. They scrape by with sneak base hits. I know. They get base hits. They get on base. I know. But I don't know.
I'm going to say it. Ring the. We're going back to football. I'm ringing the bell. Take the Rays team total, the Rays win total over. I believe it's at 84.5, 86.5. It's.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Their projected wins. 2018, they were projected to win 80.5 games. They won 90. 2019, they were projected to win 85. They won 96. 2021, I guess this isn't including 2020. 2021, they were projected to win 86. They won 100. 2022, they matched their total, won 86 games. 2023, they were projected to win 87 games. They won 99.
You lose your best player.
I mean, I know like Wander Franco's out of the equation here, and you're down Tyler Glasnow as well. But
the only way I see them finds a way. Then here's what I got to say to you. If they do find a way, then the Yankees don't make the playoffs. That's the world we're living in. I don't think the Yankees make the playoffs. The Rays do. It's one or the other. I think the Yankees are a better team.
I believe you. I don't know. It's always the bullpen for the Rays is always ridiculous. Pete Fairbanks being the closer. They signed Phil Maton. I don't even know how the fuck you say his name.
I think it's Maton.
Phil Maton from the Astros. That's big. But they could go really well, or it's going to go terribly.
Really bad. I get a feeling for them. It's not going to go well. And for the Blue Jays, I think things go right. Both teams I think are going to be much worse than the Yankees. Well, maybe not much worse, but
oh yeah,
I think this is a team fighting for a wild card spot, maybe. But I like the Blue Jays better than them, so I don't know.
And then we go to the Boston Red Sox. They lose Adam Duvall, sign with the Braves. Justin Turner, sign with the Blue Jays. James Paxton to the Dodgers. I'll just say
this team is not good.
Yeah, no. You got Rafael Devers, great. He signed into an extension, great. He's there for a while longer. Tyler O'Neill's a good pickup. They traded for him back in December. Other than that, Trevor Story.
The juice is out, Ron. No, he's done.
Yeah, he's done. And then you look at this rotation. I mean, Brian Bello is all right. He's been good. He's getting the ball on opening day. Then, other than that, Nick Pivetta at times can be good. Whitlock ex-Yankee.
They need so much to go right for them to make the playoffs, or at least have like a winning season. I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see anything. I don't see it happening.
You were going to, again, and they signed guys that it didn't end up working out. Lucas Giolito is getting Tommy John surgery. Liam Hendricks, I believe, is on the back end of getting Tommy John surgery. And it's just, I just don't see it. I don't see it with the Red Sox this year, unfortunately. I mean, fortunately. Fuck them. Anyway, so real quick, AL East, I think it's going to go Baltimore, New York, Toronto, Tampa, Boston. Literally that's the order that we just did.
Yep, yeah. And that's exactly how I think it's going to go.
Yeah. All right, National League East. My legs are getting numb. I'm sitting on a bar stool. The New York Mets. Let's take a look at this lineup, Tim. Let's take a look at this lineup here. Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso. You got McNeil, Marte, DJ Stewart. Is probably going to be getting DH looks when JD Martinez is playing in Syracuse. Good signing for the Mets. Very good signing for the Mets. Yeah. JD Martinez.
It's exactly what they needed. Very good they needed him for years.
The class. And then the final three, Alvarez, Beatty. Oh, God. Did you see that?
Don't even get me started on Brett Beatty's stand. This is not an MLB player. And I put so much faith in this kid. But I hate his swing. I hate the way he plays the field. He just has no confidence out there. Like, whatsoever. Like, none.
I was so big on him.
I just wanted Mauricio to play so badly.
And he's out for the Mauricio, year.
Yeah, Dominican League, crazy. They didn't want to pay him. He needed to give money to his family. And look what happens.
Unbelievable.
Figure it out, Mets.
Look what happened. Great job, Steve. Your starting rotation. That's the big thing. The starting rotation.
Adrian Hauser. I mean, This team sucks. The Mets are killing me.
Here's the rotation. You got Quintana, Severino, McGill, Manaea, and Adrian Hauser. The bullpen, however, has the potential to be very good. It looks good.
And you know what? The problem for years has been the bullpen. It's been we haven't had consistent pitching out of the bullpen. They've been blowing games late. That has been a problem for many years. And now you just want to completely flip the narrative, get rid of the starting rotation. Let's go for something different. Let's bolster up this bullpen. Let's see if we can have the best bullpen in the league.
So you get Diaz coming back. Vibes are high. Teams
already a different team.
Vibes are high instantly. You re-sign Adam Ottavino. You get Brooks Raley back. Drew Smith's still there. You sign Jake Diekman and Jorge Lopez. Jorge Lopez is a steal.
Steal.
That was a steal.
And then you
get Sean Reed Foley and then Michael Tonkin. On paper, this bullpen should be good. On paper, this lineup should be good. It's that starting rotation.
This is the worst rotation in baseball.
The starting rotation that's so bad. You lose a lot of guys too. I mean, you lose Vogelback. But other than that, like Cookie, you didn't lose players that were like good, really.
Cookie went
to the Guardians, and then
you look at Fangraphs, and I mean, I know it's projections, but when every starting pitcher you have in your rotation right now is projected to have over a 5.4 ERA or a 4.5 ERA, sorry, what are we doing?
Is that actually true?
Or it's the lowest one's 4.32.
4.4, 4.6, 4.3, 4.5. Jesus Christ.
Manaea
looked good against the Yankees.
Yeah, but Severino looked good. McGill looked great in spring training. Yeah, McGill, God knows that's going to last two games.
Yep. I'm just not expecting much from the Mets. But wait until once JD's in the lineup, I think vibes will be good. We'll see. Anyway, Atlanta Braves. Let's just get it out of the way. This team was destined to be one of the best teams in baseball. They got knocked out in the ALDS by the Phillies. Turns into a big thing with the rest and all this. Here's your projected lineup. Good Lord. God.
I want to say before you go, Stan, at almost every single position, they are better than the Mets. I would only say maybe shortstop.
Okay. Yeah, shortstop, man. Ronald Acuna in right. Albies at second. Riley at third, Olsen at first, Marcell Ozuna is your DH, Michael Harris is your center fielder, Sean
Ozuna
Murphy.
From the Braves.
Ozuna from the Braves, yes. Sean Murphy is your catcher, Orlando Arcia is your shortstop, and Jared Kelnick is your left fielder.
Yeah.
I'm just ready. I'm ready for like the 4-for-4 with two home runs and two extra bases.
He's going to torch the Mets. He's going to torch the Mets.
I'm ready for it.
Look at the bench. Luis Guillorme is probably going to bat 500. Darno's probably going to bat 500. I mean, this is just it's sickening, Stan. It's sickening what's going to happen.
Those poor. I mean, we look at this rotation now. Of course,
dude. How do you get Chris Sale? I'm so sorry. I'm so infuriated here.
There it is.
Oh my God.
Chris Sale traded to the Braves back in December. So here's the rotation and how it looks. You got Spencer Strider, the perennial NL Cy Young candidate, Max Fried, Charlie Morton going into his age 40 season, Chris Sale, and Ronaldo Lopez. Your bullpen, Tyler Matzek stays, and then you got Aaron Bummer, who they traded for back in November. New closer. It's no longer Kenley Jansen. Or no. Has he always been the closer? Who was the closer for the Braves last year? Or was it always Raisel Iglesias?
I don't know. I don't think it was. No, last year was. I think last year was. They got him from LA in 22, right?
I think so, yeah.
So I think he's been there for 2 years. Yeah, I mean, they got Iglesias, Minter.
Was it Kirby Yates?
No, yeah, they traded for him, right?
Yeah. He's ended up signing with Texas. They ended up losing Eddie Rosario, signed with the Washington Nationals on a 1-year deal. I mean, this team has the potential to be the best team in baseball. I think the big question is, we'll see. The big question is, are they going to run into the Phillies in the playoffs again? Because that's just been the story.
Why does baseball gods hate me? Like, why do they have to put every team that only had, like, the only teams that really have a shot of making the World Series, we're going to put in, all going to be in the NL East and just ruin the Mets in my life.
Sorry. I mean, all right. Speaking of the Phillies, we can go to the Phillies now. I think it goes unsaid with what the Braves can do. Next up, let's go to the Phillies. This is essentially the same team, if I'm being honest. This is literally the exact same team front to back. Instead, you add Whit Merrifield. That's good bench depth right there. He can play the infield and the outfield. Yeah, that's really all I got.
They didn't need to do anything. They did. They made the World Series. They really didn't need to do anything.
Are we going to Philly in May? I don't know why I'm just thinking of that now. We've had this.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been
discussions.
Still down.
Yeah, we just. All right, we'll figure that out off camera.
Yeah, off camera, we'll figure that out. Yeah. Same lineup: Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Realmuto, Bryson Stott. I think if this team doesn't have the usual April and May, like just play terrible in April and May, and then once summer hits, it's all systems go, and then just sneak into the playoffs.
Games.
Yeah, this team has the potential to win 95 games. Absolutely, it's just that how that beginning of the year is going to go.
God,
maybe Yeah, I know. They can hit the ball. And then, of course, you have Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. Ranger Suarez has been proven to be a very serviceable guy in the rotation. And then Christopher Sanchez, Spencer Turnbull, they signed in free agency back in February. But yeah, I'm really – we'll see what happens solely because, like, Nola, you know, 30 years old. Wheeler's about to be 34. But
– Yeah, but Wheeler had one of his best seasons yet last year. I like Suarez. I think Spencer Turnbull gets a little bit of a bad rap. I don't know.
I like this team. I like this team a lot. Next up, we go to the Miami Marlins. This team adds Tim Anderson. That's really their big signing. They signed
Tim
Anderson. They lose. You're cool with that, yeah. they lose Jorge Soler, David Robertson. I just burped. That was disgusting. And Joey Wendell. Setting up for a projected lineup to be Luis Arraez, Josh Bell, Jake Berger, Jazz Chisholm, Tim Anderson, Jesus Sanchez, Avisail Garcia, Brian De La Cruz, and Christian Bethencourt. Your projected rotation. Now, here's the thing with this rotation, because when healthy, this rotation, including Alcantara, who's out for the year with Tommy John surgery, Edward Cabrera with a shoulder impingement, he's been on the IL since the beginning of March. Braxton Garrett, shoulder soreness since February. Yuri Perez has elbow inflammation. So that's not good. So this sets up for a rotation of Jesus Luzardo, AJ Puck. AJ Puck!
What?
Ryan Weathers. This rotation had the potential to be, like, really good.
Yeah, they got a lot of lefties right now.
I know. You got four lefties in the projected rotation. Luzardo, Puck, Weathers, Trevor Rogers, and Max Meyer.
By the way. Yeah, they got dealt some bad cards with this pitching. I mean, obviously they're banged up. I think they're going to get to a slow start. I don't think they're going to recover. I mean, I don't expect much from this lineup. I know Arias had a great year last year. Josh Bell can hit for power. Jake Berger. Chisholm can bounce back if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson hopefully can bounce back, but there's a lot of ifs, not a lot of
There's a lot of ifs. Definites. Yeah. Last but not least, you have a nice stadium, Washington. You have a nice stadium. And you have Joey Gallo. Oh, they're so terrible. I mean, you got Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore is a good guy to build around. But yeah,
they've been doing that for 2 years.
They've had they've had the annual report. They just put out the it's not even like Fangraphs has like the IL or like the latest roster moves. They're already predicting that Steven Strasburg is going to be put on the IL. Why can't he just retire? Like, just, you got your ring. You got your ring.
They're paying him. Why not take the money?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. All right, AL Central. We're gonna attack this really quick.
Whoa! How do you think this division is gonna go down real quick?
Atlanta, Philly, Miami.
I knew you were gonna say Miami.
I'm gonna say Miami just based on.
Listen, I got no.
I know. All right. Next up, AL Central. The Minnesota Twins, the reigning American League Central champions, finally broke the curse. They finally won a playoff game. It took them that long. Any losses in free agency, they lose Sonny Gray. They lose Kenta Maeda, Michael A. Taylor, Emilio Pagan. They lost a lot of guys, Joey Gallo as well. I mean, that's not a guy to lose. That's addition by subtraction. But anyway, you have a projected lineup of Edward Julian, Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, Royce Lewis. He's going to be so exciting to watch. I cannot wait to watch Royce Lewis play baseball. That's going to be fucking great.
Yeah,
Max Kepler, Carlos Santana, Matt Wallner, Ryan Jeffers, and Alex Kirilloff. I think it all comes down to Brian Buxton's health. Byron Buxton's health. I said Brian. Byron Buxton's health.
He's going to get hurt. He always does. I mean, it's a given at this point. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
he's crazy only he's on the field, but there's going to be some hamstring injury or something. He's just not going to be able to stay on.
Yep. And then we got the rotation. Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, stud. Bailey Ober. Yeah, Pablo Lopez is a stud. Same with Joe Ryan. Chris Paddock and Louis Varland. I think this is their division to lose, in all honesty. I know Yoan Duran is on the IL with a strained oblique, but once he gets back, and they'll be in business.
Yeah, Justin Topa, too.
Oh, what the hell is happening?
This is a good team. The more I look at them, the more I like them.
Yeah, there's like 30 different fucking text messages. Can you talk?
Yeah. No, hello. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah, because people are like texting me and forth. Jesus Christ, leave me alone.
Pull a wire.
Yeah, leave me alone. Anyway, I like this Twins team. I think it's their division to lose. We'll leave it at that. Next up, the Cleveland Guardians. The Cleveland Guardians, of course, you have Jose Ramirez. But other than that, does anything really move you with the Cleveland Guardians?
Nope, not at all. Not really. Maybe Shane Bieber?
Bieber, really? Like, people are talking about him getting traded.
I don't know. Bo Naylor? Like, I can't think of anyone.
Josh Naylor's excited. Yeah, Josh Naylor, yeah. All right, so here's your projected lineup. Stephen Kwan, Andrés Giménez, Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, they added Ramon Laureano back in August when Oakland put him on waivers. Will Brennan, Bo Naylor, Tyler Freeman, and Brian,
I literally have no idea.
Rocio? Oh, my God.
An amateur free agent signed from Venezuela in July of 17.
All right, I guess they've been picking this guy. Here's your projected rotation. Shane Bieber, Logan Allen, Tanner Bibee, Carlos Carrasco and Tristan McKenzie. Of course, you have Emmanuel Class A. This team's not good. Like, I'm just going to say it. This whole division's not good.
I agree.
The division isn't good.
Yeah, I think Emmanuel Class A is really your high point here with Ramirez. I think if you're a Cleveland fan, what you really want to see this year is finally that breakout from Tristan McKenzie, because I know he's always had the tools to be an ace.
Yeah, he's coming off injury too, so I believe he had Tommy John surgery. I could be wrong, but I like what I saw out of him before he had Tommy John. He has the potential to be a number one starter if they trade Shane Bieber. I know he's on the last year of his contract, so we'll see what happens. But other than that, nothing really nothing really moves me there. Next up in the AL Central, we have – let's go to two of the more exciting teams to watch. We'll start off with the Kansas City Royals. This is – I'm going to say it. This is – call this a hot take. Call me an idiot if they suck. I don't care. The Kansas City Royals this year will be like last year's Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
I like this lineup. I like this lineup. They extend Bobby Witt. Here's your lineup: Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfro, Adam Frazier, Nelson Velasquez, Kyle Isbell. That lineup's good. They got some pretty decent pitching in free agency. They got some pretty decent pitching. Cole Reagans, who they got from Texas in June of 23. I'm going to say it. This guy's getting a lot of Cy Young looks.
Yeah, no.
This guy's getting Cy Young. Yeah, this guy's getting Cy Young looks. You add that with Brady Singer. They signed Michael Wacha, who's coming off a good year with San Diego. Seth Lugo also had a pretty decent year with San Diego as well. Then you have Alec Marsh. The only problem here is the bullpen.
This bullpen stinks.
They add Will Smith. Yeah, Jordan Lyles, Jesus Christ. They add Will Smith, great, but I really like – they're going to be fun to watch. I'm not going to overreact and say, like, yeah, they have a chance to win the division because the division's so bad. But
Can MJ Melendez please just, like, become a good baseball player? Because he has all the tools to hit the ball, and he just cannot play a lick of any defense. And I know last year he wasn't great at the plate. They had such high expectations for him, and he's really not panning out.
He has everything too, like speed. He can plays catcher. He can fucking protect the ball. But other than that, there's really nothing.
I don't know. Yeah, he's. Also, Stan, shout out Cole Reagans. Don't ever use him in MLB the Show. Don't ever use him in MLB the Show.
I mean, I didn't buy it this year.
I've been grinding, dude. Literally, just throws the flattest fastball in the world. Don't you?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm waiting for NCAA football. Do you know what we have to do? Let's start a dynasty for NCAA football.
I mean, of course I'm down to do that. Oakland?
Of course. Next up, the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, jeez.
Tarek Skubal's nice to watch. Spent a lot of question marks here. Spencer Torkelson just has not been good. They traded.
What the hell's wrong with him? What the hell is wrong with Spencer Torkelson? Please, somebody tell me, because I have been so high on him coming out. He had all the talent in the world to be one of a 250, 40 bomb guy, and he just can't hit the ball. He just can't hit the ball.
No, he can't. Here's your projected lineup: Parker Meadows, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, Mark Canna, Colt Keith. A lot of people have been choosing him for rookie of the year pick. Sorry about that. Colt Keith's been a pretty popular rookie of the year pick. Gio Urshela, Javi Baez. Oh, how the money has fallen.
$20 million.
And Jake Rogers. Setting up for a rotation of Tarek Skubal, Kenta Maeda, Jack Flaherty, Casey Mize, and Reese Olson. They also lose Austin Meadows, Jonathan Scope. Those two went unsigned. Same with Matthew Boyd. E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez took a bag from Arizona. We will get to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Don't get me wrong. Holy shit. Good luck, Tigers. Have fun. This is a good year.
It's going to be another year of disappointment.
Just play some fun ball. Just play some fun ball and don't get upset at Javi Baez swinging and missing all the time. Last but not least, if you thought the Detroit Tigers were a dumpster fire, wait till you get to the Chicago White Sox, because my God, this team is fucking terrible. Their rotation you have Garrett Crochet, great. You have Mike Soroka, great. And then the other three is like who are they? They're signing these guys from KBO.
From the freaking KBO. What's going on?
Yeah, Eric Fetty. Chris Flexen. Chris Flexen stinks. He stinks. When he was a Met, God, he was horrible.
He was a Met. Forgot about that. He was a Met. The bullpen, you got Michael. I mean, wasn't Michael Kopech supposed to be a starter? And then they just like...
Now he's a close. I don't even know what he is.
They moved him to the bullpen now. Like, this team is not good. And with with the lineup too, like Benintendi, Moncada, Robert, Yimenez, like, just thinking of this team pisses me off because they're just so terrible.
You got Robert and yeah, they really can't. Oh my god, this team's, Yimenez, it's not good. Robert, it's not good. They're not good.
All right, National League Central. Let's go to my favorite team. Oh, for American League Central, I think it's gonna. All right, you're gonna like this. I think it's gonna go Minnesota, Cleveland. Or do I even – fuck it. Minnesota,
KC,
Kansas City.
That's what I have.
Yep. Minnesota, Kansas City, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago.
I actually have Detroit last. There's just no X factor on that team, like, at all. Like, at all.
There isn't.
At least Luis Robert at least is something.
Yeah. Next up, the National League Central, the Chicago Cubs. Projected lineup: Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki, Cody Bellinger playing at first base, Christopher Morel, Dansby Swanson, Michael Bush, Nico Horner, Mike Tauchman, Yan Gomes. Projected starting rotation of Justin Steele, Kyle Hendricks, Jordan Wicks, Shota Imanaga, and Javier Assad. Jameson Taillon starts the season on the IL. They also signed Hector Neris in the bullpen and also traded for Yency Almonte from the Los Angeles Dodgers back in January. I seriously think that this is the Cubs' division to lose.
Yeah, no, I agree.
This is their division to lose. You bring back Cody Bellinger on an $80 million contract with a bunch of opt-outs, so if he sucks, you can let him go. And to be honest, I think it all comes down to the trade deadline because I feel like you're better off putting Cody Bellinger in the field, and right now Michael Bush is not going to be a great first baseman. There's going to be some first baseman on the market. I'm sorry, Tim, but if they're not willing – if Steve Cohen's not willing to extend –
I know.
He's gonna get traded.
It's fine.
Bullpen. It's all right. Yeah, Hector Neris is electric. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Other than that,
Drew Smyly.
I really don't think that you need a big bullpen in this division in order to win it. So leave it at that. I feel like the offense is.
Best lineup in the division.
Yes. Next up, we have the Cincinnati Reds. Let's go with the Reds here. It's basically the same team. The star of the team, no doubt, Elly De La Cruz. But they do get some veteran help. They get Jaime Candelario, I believe, on a 3-year contract, if I'm not mistaken. They got him on like a pretty good deal.
Oh, no.
That's irrelevant. But anyway...
Yeah, I don't know.
You have a starting rotation of Frankie Montas, who is your opening day starter, Hunter Green, Graham Ashcraft, Nick Martinez, who they signed in free agency back in November, and Andrew Abbott. Lineup, Jonathan India, Elly De La Cruz, Spencer Steer, Jake Fraley, Jaime Candelario, Will Benson, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Nick Martini, and Tyler Stevenson. And then you have Alexis Diaz in the bullpen. You also signed Emilio Pagan from Minnesota. You got Brent Sutter from Colorado and Justin Wilson from the Dodgers. You bring him back. I like this team. I like them a lot. I just don't think they can compete with the Cubs. If they can, go for them. But I just don't think
this team can
compete with the Cubs.
No. I think a guy to watch out for is Christian Encarnacion Strand. If he could have a good year at the plate, this could be, I don't know. We could see them maybe competing toe and toe.
They could make some noise. They could definitely make some noise. Next up, we go to St. Louis, the St. Louis Cardinals. A very rough year, a very, very rough year, a year that I think that they want to forget. They go get some pitching, somewhat, kind of, but now Sonny Gray's hurt and he's going to be on the IL with a strained hamstring. Again, not what you want. So now your projected rotation going into opening day is Miles Michaelis. Oh my god. Oh my god, this is so bad.
This is like just Miles a mess. Stephen Matz.
Stephen Matz, Zach Thompson, Lance Lynn, and Kyle Gibson. Your lineup. You're relying on a lot of guys. You're relying on Jordan Walker in year two. You're relying on Paul Goldschmidt, who's pushing 37. You're relying on Nolan Arenado, who's almost 33. Brendan Donovan, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Gorman, Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, Alec Burleson, Jordan Walker, Victor Scott, and Mason Wynn. At least, I mean, you got Mason Wynn to look forward to, but other than that, like, really, this team just doesn't move me. They got youth. And then, of course, starting the year in the IL, Dylan Carlson, Tommy Edman, and Lars Nootbaar. That's.
Yeah, you good. Need Lars Nootbaar if you're gonna try and do anything.
It's not good. It's not a good team. It's gonna be a rough start, but we'll see what happens.
Stan, I could really see him having almost similar years last year. I don't.
You think so?
I wouldn't be surprised
in the slightest. Next up, we go to the Milwaukee Brewers. They get rid of Craig Council. Craig Council went to the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. They lose a lot of guys. Carlos Santana, Brandon Woodruff. Or no, they re-signed Brandon Woodruff. What the fuck am I saying? Brian Anderson. They lose Jesse Winker, Luke Voit. This lineup.
Luke Voit got cut by the Mets.
He got cut by the Mets. Just look at this lineup and does it move me? I'm just going to say it. This lineup doesn't move me. I know you get Reese Hoskins, but.
What does that do?
I don't see it. Sal Frelick, William Contreras, Christian Yelich, Reese Hoskins, Willie Adames, Gary Sanchez, who's now your DH, Jackson, which is actually better off. Jackson Cholio.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Yeah. Bryce Durang and Joey Ortiz. He was a part of the Corbin Burns trade. Your starting rotation, you have Freddie Peralta. It's basically like that meme with like the Lamborghini in the halfway house, where it's like the Lamborghini underneath the house, that meme.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Is Freddie Peralta and the rest of DL Hall. You get him in the Corbin Burns trade. Colin Ray, Jacob Junis, Joe Ross. Your bullpen, Trevor McGill. Oh, God, this team's so bad. And you got Brandon Woodruff starting the year on the IL due to shoulder surgery. Devin Williams starting the year on the IL with stress fractures in his back. It's going to be a rough year for the Brewers. I hate to say it, but.
No, I agree with you.
Even when they made the playoffs, it was just like, ugh. And they won the division, right?
Yeah, they did, but they don't have anything. They don't have anything, really. I see that like, moves at all. I mean, is Yelich going to have a great year? Like, is he really?
Probably not. And then last but not least, you have the Pittsburgh Pirates. You got
An interesting team. I'm excited.
It's an interesting team. O'Neill Cruz, you got Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, Jack Sawinski, Andrew McCutchen, Rowdy Tellez, Henry Davis.
Finally.
Fox Lane. Michael, finally. Was he Fox Lane? I don't remember.
It was something.
I don't forget. Oh, no, Josiah Gray was Fox Lane, I think. Michael A. Taylor and Jared Triolo. You have a rotation of Mitch Keller, who had a very good year last year, Martin Perez, Jared Jones, Bailey Falter, and Marco Gonzalez. You have one of the best closers in baseball in David Bednar. They sign Aroldis Chapman on a 1-year deal.
Bring him back. He's now on his ex-rival team. I remember when he was throwing at McCutchen when he was a Pirate.
Yes, I do remember that as well. This team's going to be fun to watch. It's just like, I don't think they're a threat to win the division. I think they're just going to be like your pesky old team where it's just like, hey,
I agree,
like,
but I think this might be one of those you know, ripping off the Band-Aid kind of team. Like, they're going to be pesky and annoying. They're going to be, hovered around that second spot in this division,
They're almost going to be, the equivalent of a bid stealer in the NCAA tournament, where it's like, if a team in their division needs to beat them in order to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, they're not going to win.
You bet that the Pirates are going to give them hell. I think that this division's going to go Chicago, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh.
Oh my God, call me crazy. You're going to hate this, but call me crazy. I'm going Chicago, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, St. Louis.
Ooh.
Not a good year for the Cards in my book.
All right. We go to the AL West, the big bad AL West. Let's start with the reigning defending World Series champion, Texas Rangers. They basically, I mean, you know, you lose Jordan Montgomery, you lose Aroldis Chapman, you basically lose all these guys that you traded for, all these rentals. So now here's your lineup. Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Evan Carter, Adolis Garcia, Josh Young, Wyatt Langford, Jonah Heim, Jared Walsh, and Leody Tavares. Your rotation, Nate Eovaldi, John Gray, Andrew Heaney, Dane Dunning, and Cody Bradford. Your new closer is now Jose Leclerc. They add in David Robinson. They bring in Kirby Yates. Jose Urania is a pretty good add. Nathaniel Lau starts the year in the IL. DeGrom, Scherzer, Molly, who they signed back in December. I mean, if this team's hitting, they're a threat. Like, that's really how it is.
If they're hitting, Stan, and their rotation gets healthy, I mean, this is...
They're a big-time threat.
Could you see them pushing the division?
They might. They might be able to. They seriously might be able to. Especially with the Astros not really... I haven't really taken a look at the Astros. I think, again, the ceiling's playoff or bust. Really.
Yeah, really. I mean, the floor is really playoff for me. You won the World Series last year. You got to go back. And this lineup didn't change much. Course. You got to go back.
All right. The Houston Astros. Again. Yeah. I was like looking back at those highlights from the ALCS last year. What a great fucking ball that was. That was just fantastic baseball.
It really was.
I wish I it was awesome. lineup for the Astros. You got Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Jose Abreu, Yennier Diaz, Chaz McCormick, Jeremy Pena, Jake Myers. Your projected rotation, Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco, and JP France. They add in Josh Hader. They signed him to a contract. Pretty lengthy IL for the pitchers. Justin Verlander starting the year in the IL. Jose Urquidy starting the year in the IL. Lance McCullers starting the year in the IL. Luis Garcia starting the year on the IL. But it still feels like that this is the same Astros of the old.
Yeah, I mean, the rotation doesn't even look bad right now.
No, it doesn't. Valdez, Javier, Hunter Brown has been serviceable, but then, you know, it gets to Ronel Blanco, it gets to JP France as well. But again, I of course, it's the Astros. They're going to compete. They sign Altuve to that one last dance extension. You think they're winning the division?
Yeah, I think so too. Of course, they're winning the division. They're the Astros. Yes. They're going to win like 200 games.
Yeah. Next up, we have the Seattle Mariners. Seattle Mariners, they bring in Julio Rodriguez. What the fuck am I saying? they let go of Teoscar Hernandez. You have Julio Rodriguez. Jorge Polanco they traded for in January. Here's your lineup. Crawford, J.P. Crawford, Julio Rodriguez, Jorge Polanco, Mitch Garver, Cal Raleigh, Mitch Haniger, Dominic Canzone, Ty France, and Josh Rojas. Your starting rotation, Luis Castillo, George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, and Emerson Hancock. The bullpen. Andres Munoz, Ryan Stanek, Gabe Spire, Trent Thornton, Taylor Saucedo. I've never really heard of him. And where the fuck's Paul Seawald? Is he gone? Am I stupid?
Is he? He might be. I don't even...
Time to find that out. Where the hell is Paul Seawald? Oh, is he with the Diamondbacks? I'm stupid.
Yeah,
Diamondbacks. We're dumb.
We're both really dumb.
I think I didn't say fucking Paul Seawald in that interview. Anyway, I think that Julio Rodriguez has the potential to be one of the best to have an MVP season, if I'm not mistaken. Like, let's all be honest here.
This team is gonna let so many people down.
You think so?
It's such a hard division. Like, I look at the Astros lineup, I look at the Rangers lineup, I look at this lineup. Like, they're clearly not better than those two. I know they have the tools to be. I just think they're going to fall short again. I don't think they're better than the Yankees. I don't know.
Okay. Next up, the Angels. You know, they lose Shohei.
This team stinks. They stink.
That shit stank, don't it? Yeah. They tried going all in, and then 2 weeks later, they traded everyone and put them on waivers.
Oh, my God. This team sucks.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
Rendon,
God.
Hicks, Trout, Ward.
Their
rotation.
Need I say more? Yeah, no. Let's not even waste our time here.
This team sucks.
Oh my God.
And I didn't really look at their lineup. They're really bad.
Even worse, the Vegas A's or Oakland, whatever the fuck you want to call them.
They're not even an MLB team. Like, this is just
no. This is a double A. This is a double A lineup.
They're not even fun to watch. Like, play against.
No, like, Domingo Germán threw a perfect game against them. Domingo Germán.
Sister could.
Oh,
Yeah, this team Gabby, really.
Gabby Lotto can definitely throw eight perfect, no doubt.
100%.
Yes.
I mean, who's the best hitter in this lineup? JD Davis? Like, what?
Oh, no. It's, what's his name? The rookie they had. Rooker.
Yeah, well, Brad Rooker. Oh, he's 29.
He's 29? I thought he was, like, a rookie.
No, he's 29 years old.
Oh, my God. This team's terrible.
Yeah, no. They really don't. They don't even have youth. They're not young. They're Lawrence Butler is their youth. He's 24. Everyone else is really pushing.
Oh, no, that was Esteban Ruiz, who had all those stolen bases. Oh, God, this team's terrible. It's going to go Houston, Texas, Seattle, Angels, A's.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yep, perfect. Last but not least, the American League West. Do we have to say more about the Dodgers?
I don't even want to talk about them.
I'll be honest, I feel like we've heard it all the time.
They signed Will Smith to a 10-year extension, $140 million. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Your projected lineup, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, to be honest, they've already played a game, technically. Like, they've already played two games. Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Smith, Muncy, Teoscar Hernandez, James Outman, Jason Hayward, Gavin Lux. All nine of these guys have the potential to just have a month where they just go on a tear.
Like, what the hell is this team?
You got Glasnow, Bobby Miller, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Did not have a great first
And you know
start.
What? I'm just going to say, the thing is, people were questioning, they did have question marks about if his fastball was going to translate to the MLB because of how flat it is.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't throw as hard in Japanese leagues. I don't know. We'll see. I know it was his first start. We'll see.
Bullpen, Evan Phillips, Joe Kelly. It's basically the same bullpen. They got Ryan Yarbrough back in August. Like, this is...
Once they're healthy, like, I'm not even... Blake Treinen gets healthy.
Here's my thing. It's not only their division to lose, it's their league to lose. Like, this if they don't win the World Series this year, it's a failure.
Yeah. And the only team
just
I really...
Just like how it was last year.
Yeah. Well, on paper, though, really, you put the lineups next to each other. Who's got better one, Atlanta or them? It's hard.
It's hard. I'm not going to commit to an answer. It's so hard, I'm not going to commit to an answer.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. And I just want to ask you one thing before. How are you going to feel about Mookie Betts playing shortstop? I've seen a little bit of him in spring training, struggling a little bit. It's not something easy to pick up on when you're 30 years old. So.
Yeah, it's the arm that, like, really – like, he tried doing a Jeter jump throw, and it, like, bounced on the ground, like, eight different times. Like, I'm not –
We'll see.
All right. My team finishing second in this division. We're going to talk about it right now. Give me the fucking Arizona Diamondbacks to finish in second place in this division.
Yeah, clearly.
I love.
You know what, Stan? It's a damn shame they don't play in another division because they could win almost.
They could win a division. If they were in NL Central, they could easily win this division without a doubt.
Yep.
They have a top five rotation in baseball now. I know they're going to have Montgomery start a few games in the minors to get him going. But right now you have a potential rotation. Well, right now the rotation is Zach Allen, Merrill Kelly, Tommy Henry, Brandon Fatt, and Ryan Nelson. Erod's on the IL with a strained lat, so maybe he'll be back in a couple of weeks. You have a potential rotation of Zach Allen, Merrill Kelly, Jordan Montgomery, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Brandon Fatt. Are you fucking kidding me? That's a top five rotation in the sport.
Yeah. No. They got good pitching. They got a good bullpen. They got a good lineup. I don't know. This is just a good team.
I know. Paul Sewald is going to be on the IL. Here's a projected lineup. Corbin Carroll, the reigning National League Rookie of the Year. Ketel Marte, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Christian Walker. They signed Jock Peterson from San Francisco. Gabriel Moreno. They trade for Eugenio Suarez. So there's your Evan Longoria replacement. Alec Thomas and Geraldo Perdomo. This team's going to be good. This team's going to make the playoffs.
I agree with that.
Enough said. Next up, the San Diego Padres. They trade away Juan Soto, but they get some good young controllable pitching. Here's their projected lineup. Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis Jr., Jake Cronenworth, Manny Machado, Ha-Sung Kim, Jerickson Profar, Luis Campusano, Tyler Wade was their opening day third baseman, which is something frightening, and Jackson Merrill, who a lot of people have been high on. To win National League Rookie of the Year. Your rotation, it doesn't get much better than this, to be honest. Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, who's a big question mark. Dylan Cease, Michael King, Matt Waldron, your bullpen. They signed a lot of guys. They signed Wandy Peralta. They get Stephen Kolek from the Rule 5 draft. They signed Yuki Matsui from Japan. Eniel de los Santos from Cleveland. good team on paper. Do I think they make the playoffs? Probably not.
Yeah, they do it every time. I don't understand. I don't understand how they constantly disappoint every time.
I'm not putting faith in them. Next up, the San Francisco Giants. Colorado Rockies. They suck. Next. San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, the Rockies absolutely blow. I'm sorry if you're a Rockies fan, but they are. If Chris Bryant's your number one guy, what are you doing?
Yeah, really. Here's the projected lineup for the Giants. Jung Hoo Lee, Jorge Soler, who they signed from Miami, Lamont Wade Jr., Matt Chapman, who they got from Toronto, Michael Conforto, Tyler Estrada, Mike Yastrzemski, Patrick Bailey, and Nick Ahmed, who they got from Arizona. Your projected rotation, Logan Webb, Blake Snell, Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, Keaton Wynn, and your bullpen, they got the Rodgers brothers. They got the other Rodgers brother now.
Yeah, so
they have Tyler and Taylor. You got Camilo Doval, who's one of the top closers in baseball. That rotation's going to get better for San Francisco, however. Alex Cobb, who had a very good year, he had hip surgery back in October. He should be back soon, generally soon, I would say. Hip surgery gets you like...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be out too much longer.
Be back by May. Rotation Robbie has the potential Ray,
on
to be
the
good.
Other hand.
Yeah, Robbie Ray. This rotation has the potential to be good. This lineup has the potential to be very good. Am I thinking playoffs?
No.
I'm not going to see it.
I'm thinking Joey Bart's been such a disappointment.
Yeah, he's been a big disappointment. All right. I mean, you signed Blake Snell. That's great. But again, I just don't see it. I don't see it. Okay.
Nope.
Real quick. AL MVP, NL MVP, AL Rookie of the Year, NL Rookie of the Year. And then we pick our eventual World Series champion. Go for it, Tim. AL MVP, who you got?
I don't know. It pisses me off to say this, but I'm going to take Aaron Judge.
Oh, okay. I'm going with Julio Rodriguez. I think it's his year. I think this is going to be the year where oh, Jesus Christ. It's like my dad sipping a margarita. Great. I just got something picture. That's hysterical.
You're about to join him.
That's like, oh, I know. My cousin was sending me a text. He's like, this man has a 7 a.m. flight tomorrow. I'm like, yep. Yeah, we got to be at fucking Palm Beach Airport by like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not looking forward to it. I got Julio Rodriguez to win MVP. I think it's about time where it's like, it's his year. It's his time to, you know, be the guy to, I just feel like it's his time.
It's
We've
time
always
to
heard how he's
up.
One of the top players in the sport. He's got to take that step up, but I have full faith in him doing that. National League MVP.
Mookie Betts.
I'm going to kind of chalk this one and say Shohei. I feel like with this whole gambling saga, he's just going to pretend that he's put it past him and just fucking put up 50 home runs.
I feel like it's one of the two. It might be one of the three because I think the batting title goes right to Freddie Freeman again.
Yep. Definitely another sleeper for National League MVP. We could definitely say we
Bryce
could go
Harper.
With...
Low-key.
Yeah, low-key. Acuna.
Yeah, back-to-back.
Acuna. Yeah, Acuna's the favorite, but yeah, I forgot that Acuna was the favorite. We could definitely go Shohei. Shohei's definitely not a chalk pick now. Next up, American League Rookie of, or we can do Cy Young too. Shit, I forgot about that. AL Cy Young, Gerrit Cole, no. This is definitely going to be like a sleeper pick. Yeah, I was going to say Corbin Burns too. I love Tarik Skubal for some reason. I'm just going to be different and take care
That's
of Tarik
crazy.
Skubal. Yeah, I know. I'm just going to be different. And National League Cy Young, the favorite Spencer Strider. I'm going to go a bit different here. Give me Freddy Peralta.
That's a good pick. That's
I'm
a really
go
good
with
pick.
Freddy Peralta.
I'm going to go based off last year and the steps he's kind of taken forward. I haven't seen him regress once. I really like Zach Wheeler to win this, especially if the Phillies can get off hot and he could start off the season well. I feel like this is kind of sort of his little thing to lose here.
And then, all right, AL Rookie of the Year. Who you got?
I want to say – I know Jackson Holliday's getting called up in 2 weeks just so he has more eligibility, so I'm going to just go with him. I'm taking him.
I'm going to take Wyatt Langford.
That's you know what? That's the other. It's one of the two. I think it's one of the two.
It's one of the two. It's coming out of Langford or Holiday. I'm going to put my money in Langford solely. I mean, here's the thing, because what Langford's slated to be the DH, and I can see voters taking Holiday where it's like, you know, he can hit and he can field. So I don't know. Austin Wells? I'm kidding. No. National League Rookie of the Year. I think it's pretty clear who the National League Rookie of the Year is going to be. It's going to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Yeah, I think it's pretty, especially the year that they're going to have. I don't think there's a way he loses this.
If it's not, I like Jung-Hoo Lee, a sleeper. Here's a sleeper. Are you ready for this one?
Let me hear it.
Big sleeper, because this kid's starting the year in the minors. Pete Crow Armstrong.
You know what? I don't hate that at all. I really don't. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, World Series champion. Who you got?
Oh, God. No matter what. It's in the National League. It's in the National League.
It's obviously in the National League, yes.
I think the National League is a three-headed race right now with Atlanta, LA, and I'm going to put Philly in there just because they get it done in the playoffs every time.
Yes.
It hurts me. It's Atlanta. I think I know I said it last year, but they have to. They have to get it done this year. There's no excuse.
If it's neither Atlanta or LA, a lot of things need to be done.
You got to reassess everything because those two are probably two of the best lineups I think I've ever seen in baseball. I think they're comparable to 2009 Yankees lineups, maybe a little better.
Even 98. People are comparing to the 98 Yankees.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Yeah, I got Atlanta too. I think it's Atlanta's to lose. All right. Real quick, what I saw. What do you got?
Jadeveon Clowney just signed with the Panthers. That's what I saw.
Oh.
Yeah, he signed. Okay. Hold on. I got the deal right here. If I can pull it up. Well, obviously now I'm not going to be able to pull it up. Hold on. What did you see, Stan? And I'll find this deal.
What I saw was a Florida Panther game. I went to a Panthers game. This was like the first time I went to a sporting event where I was a neutral observer. I took the over. It hit. I'm going to say it. Hitting a hockey over while you're there, it hits different.
A liberating experience, Dan?
It is a liberating experience.
I found the deal. It's two years worth up to $24 million. Yeah, he got a bag for no reason. Wow. They needed to sign someone.
Here's my take on the Florida Panthers environment. I would take that environment, like outdoor bar, over a Madison Square Garden environment. In a regular season game. Let me just make that abundantly clear.
It's much more beachy. It's definitely more of a baseball feel. It's more beachy. Nicer weather. Yeah.
Like nicer weather, music's playing.
You're at a New York hockey game. You're stepping in the Thunderdome, Stan. I mean, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. You might get your ass beat. Like, you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah. This one, they didn't really give a shit. They were just like, oh, yeah.
The power of friendship will win us the Stanley Cup.
The power of friendship. The power of friendship. Boston,
when the power of friendship takes Cincinnati to the World Series this year.
Who knows? Best bets opening day. I forgot to mention that. I'm just going to say it right now. Boston, Seattle, over. I don't know what the total is. I just like the over. I'll leave it at that. Boston, Seattle, over. And I was going to take Met money line, but the game got rained out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably better you didn't.
Milwaukee. We'll see.
Yo, is Wyatt Langford? They play tomorrow, Texas, right?
Yeah. And my other what I saw is sunburned.
Give me Wyatt Langford at home run tomorrow.
Oh, look at that. Holy shit.
Oh, damn. Go put some aloe on that.
It'll do it to you. It doesn't hurt, but yeah, it's not. As Joe Girardi said, it's not what you want. Pale Irish kid, definitely getting sunburned, not good. Sweet 16, best bets, done. Opening day preview, done. Got baseball tomorrow. Sweet 16 tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it. Tomorrow's Sweet 16 all for you.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for Illinois-Iowa State tomorrow. I'm just going to say it.
Neither can I. Iowa State's winning.
It's going to be such a good fucking game, and I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. I'm so excited. I can't wait to just drink beer and watch sports all day.
What a life.
all weekend. What a life. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube. Like this video on YouTube. Leave a comment on this video. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. And we will see you guys on Tuesday for an opening day recap and a Final Four preview. Yes, a Final Four preview. Can't wait for it. All right. See you guys. Peace out.